This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, March 29th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. USDA projects producers to trim crop acreage. Species rules restore some protections. Irrigation's impact on Colorado River. With prices down, farmers cutting back acreage. Amid a slump in commodity markets, farmers report they're planning to cut back on corn and some other row crops this year. According to the USDA's annual prospective plantings report, farmers expect to seed 90 million acres of corn this year, down 5% from last year. Soybean acreage expected to be up 3%, 86.5 million acres. Plantings of wheat and cotton, though, are expected to be lower. The total planted area to principal crops, now that includes corn, sorghum, wheat, rice, soy, canola, peanuts, dry edible beans, potatoes, and sugar beets, that's expected to fall from last year's 319.6 million to 313.3 million this year. The report is based on a survey conducted in the first 2 weeks of March. Supplies are higher than last year. Stocks of corn, soy, and wheat are already significantly higher than they were a year ago. How high? Well, corn stocks are up 13% from March last year. Soy stocks up 9% and wheat supplies up 16%. In the market, analysts had been expecting a higher corn estimate, so the release of the USDA report actually pushed corn prices higher. At the end of trading yesterday, May corn was up about 15 cents per bushel, 3.6%. ESA rules reverse some changes made during Trump administration. New Endangered Species Act rules from the Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service restore some, but not all, protections for endangered wildlife that had been abandoned by the Trump administration. In regulations released yesterday, the agencies again extended most protections for species listed as endangered to those listed as threatened. The service also made clear they cannot take into account economic impacts on businesses and landowners when deciding whether to list a species. The listing determination does, quote, not include a consideration of the economic effects, FWS and NMFS said. Environmental groups say they were mostly pleased with the new rules, but said the services could have done more to shore up critical habitat designations. Study. Irrigated agriculture makes up over half of all Colorado River water use. Around 52% of all Colorado River water is used for irrigated agriculture. Just under half of that, 46%, going to alfalfa and other cattle feed crops. That's according to a new study published yesterday in the Journal of Communications, Earth and Environment. The study, which analyzed Colorado River water use by sector, including indirect water consumption and use of water exported outside of the river's boundary, also found that about 19% is, quote, consumed through riparian and wetland vegetation evapotranspiration along river courses. So why is alfalfa so popular? Well, alfalfa can tolerate variable climate conditions. It persists under greatly reduced irrigation during droughts, and it's able to recover production quickly after full irrigation is resumed, acting as a shock absorber for agricultural production under unpredictable drought conditions, the study's author wrote. The crop has become controversial amid ongoing debates over water cutbacks, but Colorado River Board of California Chair J.B. Hamby told attendees at the Stanford University Eccles Family Rural West Conference recently that its popularity comes from consumer demands for beef and dairy products. It's certainly an easy thing to find a convenient villain, but I think the villain sometimes, if we're looking for one, is ourselves and our own choices, Hamby said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Lynched to serve as Assistant USTR for South and Central Asia. Brendan Lynch will step into the role of Assistant U.S. Trade Representative for South and Central Asia, the office of the USTR announced yesterday. Lynch, most recently Deputy Assistant USTR for the region and has been working at USTR for 11 years. That includes an early stint in the agency's Office of Agriculture Affairs, according to a press release. He also previously worked as a trade analyst at the U.S. International Trade Commission. In his new position, he will work on U.S. trade policy and strategies for negotiations with Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Maldives, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, that according to the press release. BLM rule attempts to streamline broadband regulations. The Bureau of Land Management is updating its regulations in an attempt to accelerate development of broadband infrastructure on public lands. A new rule released yesterday aims to provide consistency in how the agency reviews applications to locate communication facilities on federal land and commits the agency to make decisions on applications within 270 days, BLM said. BLM also said it would prioritize applications that target rural areas. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, March 29th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.